Hope y'all have had a good Thanksgiving. It's a blessing just to sit back and think of all that God has done for us. He's been better to us than we ever could deserve, and I am thankful for that. And honestly, why He loves us like He does, I don't guess we'll ever know on this side of eternity. But aren't you glad that He does? And as we're looking here in the book of 1 John, we'll continue. All right, chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse number 5. So this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We'll stop the reading right there for right now. And so for the last several times, we've talked about this consideration of the character of God, and that is that God is light. And we've touched on that several different times, but I want to focus this morning just for a moment on this last phrase. It says, "And in Him is no darkness at all." And if I were to start looking around at your life and you were to start looking at my life, you might see some light as we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. But I imagine if you stayed around for very long, you would find some darkness mixed in here or there. But I'm glad for the contrast that we have with the Lord Jesus, that we might look at us and no matter how good we get in this life, how close to Him we get, there's always going to be a hint, Brother Matt, of that old man still that's lingering around. Still some darkness that we're dealing with in this flesh, but there's never a time that when we step back and we look at God, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never see an ounce of darkness in Him. And I'm thankful for that, and I just thought of just a few little things that I wanted to mention before we moved on. You know, one of the things that I'm thankful for is you can find in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says that God cannot lie. Hey. Folks, He will not lie to you. And if His Word tells you something, you can take it to the bank. You know that it's true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Right. Folks, He is true every time. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it's impossible for Him to lie. Right. We're told over and over, He is the truth. There's no question that He cannot lie. That's one darkness you will not find in Him. And the Bible says in James 1:13 that He does not tempt men with evil. Folks, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. No, sir. You may say, well, God could have stopped me from doing that. No, you should have stopped you from doing that. God's made every provision for you and I to live in the light. And if we choose darkness, it's on us. It's never on Him. Never on Him. He always, with every temptation, the Bible says, makes a way of escape. He's very plain about that. He does not tempt man with evil, neither can he be tempted, the Bible says. And I'm thankful for 1 Corinthians 14:33. The Bible says that He's also not the author of confusion.
Thank God.
If you're here today and you're confused about something, if it's your salvation, if it's about your family, if it's about your church, if it's about your work, if it's about how you feel toward your neighbor, guess what? That's not God. It's not God. Hey. The Bible says He is not the author of confusion. That's a darkness that's not of Him. If you've got that darkness in your life, guess what? That has to do with you, not Him. God is not darkness. There's none in Him. And you just can't help but think of John 1:14. You know, we often use that first part of the verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. But the last part says that He's full of grace and truth. That don't leave room for anything else, does it?
Right, brother.
That's what He's full of grace and truth. And man, I look at my life and I look around this world, man, there's darkness everywhere. But I'm thankful when I look at Him, I find none. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 and 23 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Well, wouldn't it do us all good to commit our ways to him? You and I are not the judge, but we know the judge and we serve the righteous judge. And if we would just commit our ways to him and take our mind off everything else, it'd do us a whole lot better. Hebrews 7:26 says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. No darkness in him. I guess I probably like best the way that the Song of Solomon puts it. In chapter 5, verse 16, he says, yea, he is altogether lovely. No darkness at all in him. And then even Pilate, an unbeliever, he didn't have... All he could say was what was right. He looked at him and said, I find in him no fault at all. He had enough. He had better sense than most of us have. How many of us in our life have looked at God and said, God, have you got this right? Pilate didn't have that question. He said, there's no fault in this man. Folks, in him is no darkness at all. If you've got any darkness, it has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, other than maybe you don't have him. You get him, he'll light things up for you. He'd clarify some things. And so I appreciate that. I'm thankful that I may be full of darkness at times, but when I start looking to the light, he starts shining. He starts shining some things out for us. He clears the path real good.
That's right.
And so I thank God for that little phrase there. In him is no darkness at all. And we're gonna, you could spend forever on that. But we're gonna move on to verse number 6. It says, if we say, you notice he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So this is a biggie, and this is where we'll focus most of our time today. We've got this consideration that we've been looking at, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. But when we come here, what we find in the lives of men is a contradiction. We look at people's lives and we go visiting. I use visiting a lot because I see it probably as much then as ever. You knock on a door and they come to the door. And the first thing you say, Dustin, is, hey, we're here from Amazing Grace Baptist Church and we just come to let you know that the Lord loves you. Do you know the Lord? What do they say every time? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I got saved down at such and such 20 years ago. And, well, where are you going now? As Kelsey said, I don't do that. I don't do that. There's a bunch of hypocrites down at the church house.
Go ahead, brother.
Some of them was never there to know if there's any hypocrites down at the church house.
Hey, mate.
They had an emotional experience that never changed their life.
That's right.
Now, that's the truth about a lot of these conversions that we're dealing with. They don't know the gospel. They thought that if they come down to an altar somewhere and they shed some tears, if they went to Bible school one time and said they didn't want to go to hell, that everything was okay.
Go ahead, man.
But folks, that's not regeneration. No, that's not what the Bible talks about. But regeneration is when the Holy Ghost of God comes down and changes a man's heart.
That's right.
He makes him a new creature.
Yes.
And we're going to deal with that. We're going to look at several passages today. But it says, if we say that we have no sin, he, verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, I'm sorry, I get ahead of myself. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if you say that you have fellowship with the Lord, but your life is continually, Brother Wayne, living in a life of darkness. God's shining a light here, and instead of stepping there, you step over here. Because you don't want your deeds exposed. Remember, we read that passage over in the book of John. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil.
Yes.
And so what we have today is a bunch of people that claim to have fellowship with God. Dustin, they'll look at us out there at their house and say, well, I watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Or I read my Bible, but you ask them a question about their Bible and see how that goes over.
Go ahead.
They don't know nothing. Now, I'm not going to say there are some extreme cases where there's been somebody that's hurt real bad. And they really did love the Lord. And for whatever reason, something hurt them. Don't. I'm not saying that does not happen. It does happen. But I promise you that it's obvious in the cases that we deal with on, I'm going to say 99% of the time, that is not what happened. You had somebody who made a profession, and as we used to say it around here, without a possession.
That's right.
That's what happened. But we're dealing with Christians right here. Supposed to be. And we're supposed to have fellowship, right? This book, we read about it when we dealt with the first few verses. We talked about how that He wants us to have fellowship, one with another, and with the Father and the Son, right? That's what it says up in the earlier part. That's a part of why He's writing this. But the thing about it is you can't have real fellowship if the life that you're living right now is faking fellowship.
That's right.
So you have to get rid of all the fake stuff. We have to throw away all of the deceptions, the things that we do to ourselves. Sometimes we deceive ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And we try to think we're okay because I spent 5 minutes in my Bible this morning.
Go ahead.
Or I knelt down to pray for 2 minutes. Right? You all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Right?
You're right? All of those things. And I'm just as bad as the rest of you. I get busy, Brother Adam. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, I thought, we fool ourselves thinking that we can manufacture time. And the truth of it is, if we live a whole day, there's no matter what day you're talking about, we get 24 hours. Unless we fall back and we get one extra hour. There's one day we get 25 hours, amen. But for the most part, our day is 24 hours. And you can shuffle that thing around however you want to. And you can put so much time into this and so much time into work and so much time into your spouse and so much time into your kids, so much time into baseball, so much time into hunting, so much time into whatever you want to put in there. I'm using my families. That's what we deal with.
Yeah,
and also so much time into church. So much time into visitation, all those things. And then what happens is that, before long, what happens is, and you got to have sleep too, right? I found out this week I really needed sleep because I tried to do something. What I tried to do was maximize my time. So I'd stay up with family till 11 or 12 at night, one night, 1:30, and thought that the rest of the week I could get up at 4 and try to go after deer. But you know what that does? It ends up like it did last night for me, not being able to hold my head up. Because at the end of the day, this is real simple stuff, right? But this is where I live. And then you realize before long, I've got nothing left. I've got nothing left. And so when we get to that point in our lives, what we do is we appease ourselves. We say, well, I've got to do some reading. We pick this book up, and we read it, and we're sitting here like this right here. That's whether it's morning or evening, and can't hold our head up. Or we go to pray, and we've got so many things on our mind. This was not written in my notes. This is coming straight from the heart right here. Or we go to pray, and our mind is so full of everything else in the day that we can't focus on God.
You're right.
And folks, this is a battle that you and I face every day. And for whatever reason, we fail to get ready for it. And we try to cram everything we can get in a short amount of time. And the person that deserves the most of it gets the least of it.
Right.
And maybe I'm the only one who feels that way in my life, but that's the truth of it. And the problem is what we're doing is we're fooling ourselves. We think we're okay, and you know why we think we're okay? It's because we look at so-and-so, and Nathaniel's my brother, so I'm going to look at him because he ain't going to get mad at me. But But Nathaniel, what I do is I look at you and I say, well, Nathaniel goes hunting. And I'm using this because we love a lot of the same things, right? So I can look at Nathaniel and say, well, he spends so many hours. He takes off work to go hunting. I ought to be able to do the same thing. But the truth is, Nathaniel, you're not my measuring stick. And I don't know what you do the rest of your time. What I do know is what I do. And I have one measuring stick, Brother Delmer. And it's God and His Word. It's Him. He's my measuring stick. And if I'm not doing what He says, then all that other stuff don't really matter. Don't matter how I line up to you, Mary. It don't matter how my family lines up to your family. If my family doesn't line up to this,
right, that's it.
Your family may not line up. I don't know. But if our families are not lining up, we can quit saying that we have fellowship with Him.
Yes.
Folks, He desires our fellowship, and we ought to desire His. But the problem is, I'm afraid we've deceived ourselves into saying that we have fellowship with Him. And we lie and we do not the truth. Does that hurt? It hurts me real bad. But the question is, what are we going to do about that? It's one thing to recognize a problem. See, a lot of people recognize their problem and they come and cry about their problem. But there's no repentance.
Right.
See, repentance is that change that takes place. It's not repentance until you make the decision that I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm going to do something about it. And that's what real repentance is. It's a turn. It's a change. That's why we get the Bible confused when it talks about God repenting. It wasn't that God did anything wrong to repent of. What He did was He changed things. He said, I made man, and it repenteth me that I made man. So what I'm going to do, Brother Dustin, I'm going to destroy man. That was the change. He had this creation that He had created. What did He do to it? He destroyed it. And only Noah and his family got saved because of the grace that he found in God's eyes. Otherwise, he'd have been destroyed too. But Noah found grace. But, folks, we just need to fess up to what we really are. And then God can make the difference. But we have to be willing to let Him. So, verse 6 again, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but yet we still walk in darkness. See, the thing is, the dangerous part is we have fellowship with Him, we recognize the light, but yet individually, in our families, sometimes in our churches, not just Amazing Grace, in general, we know what God wants, but yet we choose to walk in darkness.
You're right.
Sometimes what that is we close our eyes. Kevin said it, I think it was you, it was either you or Brother Dave in Africa. It's one thing to go over to Africa and see all that we saw. But now that we've seen what we saw, how can you see that? And you ask the question, how can we do nothing about it? That applies to every situation in our lives. Once we see God's truth, that was another phrase I believe that we had over there. God's truth, once we see it, how do we not change? What keeps us from wanting to step into that light, Brother Kim? Why do we want to remain in darkness?
Right.
Well, Paul, I believe, had it right when he said, it's a sin that lieth in me. I think he had it right when he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Every one of us, you know what? We're no better than he is. We still have that on the inside, and it's a constant battle, and it's constant warfare. And so we've got to face it head on. But it says if we say we've got fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And do not the truth. And so today, it'd be a good day for all of us to just take God at His word and say, Lord, I've been acting like I've got fellowship. I give you 5 minutes of my day. I have a morning devotion that's 2 minutes long. And then I go about my business the rest of the day. And I redo it the next day. And Lord, all this time I've said I had fellowship with you. But really, I'm just checking you off the list. And I'd like to get fellowship restored this morning.
Hey.
That would do us all good. Me included. And so we'll look at some passages that deal with these different things. Look with me at the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." See, that's what he's done for us. Brother Ronnie's took us out of darkness, called us into his marvelous light. He says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God,
right,
which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul."
Right.
See, that's the fight that we have. You notice that just in the same passage, Brother Matt, that he's talking about the difference that God has made in you and I. He follows that thing up immediately, Dustin, and says, you've got to abstain from fleshly lusts.
That's right.
If you want to live up to the potential that God has called you to be, there's something that you have to do. You can't just lay down. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's got a purpose for every one of us." And I'm afraid that, you know, we see this list and it's just a list at times, but we look at verse 9 and he tells us we're a chosen generation. We're special people. God has purposed in his heart to do something in our heart for him. A royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. That's not talking about weirdos, Dustin.
Right.
That's talking about a group of people that he has set apart for a specific purpose. We're his.
Hey.
And if we're his, it ought to make a difference.
Yes, sir.
And once we ever get in our mind and recognize what he's truly done for us. You see, we were not a people.
That's right, brother.
We're not a people. But now we are the people of God. I sent this to Kevin yesterday, I guess it was, or yesterday, day before, whenever it was. Verse number 9, what we find is he hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He gave us a different scenery.
Hey.
We was in the dark, now we're in the light.
Hey.
He also gave us a new status. We were no people,
hey,
and now we are the people of God.
That's right.
And then thirdly, he says, verse number 9 there at the end, that we should show forth, verse 10, he says, "which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." See, we had the judgment of God upon us. That was the sentence of death.
That's right.
Because death passed upon all men. So we got a new sentence, Dustin. We were sentenced to death. Now we're sentenced to life. Life eternal.
Amen.
Folks, he's changed us. He's changed us inwardly. But it's up to you and I to work out the salvation that he's put on the inside. You see, God does this work in you, and he puts the Spirit of God down on the inside that has a desire to do what's right. But the problem is what we try to do in our flesh, we suppress the Spirit that's on the inside. And you've heard it said over and over that the one you feed the most is going to be the one that wins all these battles. They're going to be the stronger of the two. The problem is we just consistently consume things, we'll use the Bible terms, consume things upon our lusts. That's what we do. And Peter said here to abstain. You know what that word means, don't you? That's a real simple word. means don't do it. Stay away from it. Abstain from fleshly lusts. The truth is, the desires of our flesh, folks, they'll fool us, won't they? They'll cheat us out of the blessings of God when we start feeding those fleshly lusts. And you know what those are in your life that hinder you. And I know what those are in my life that hinder me. But what we need to do is just say, Lord, I'm gonna draw a line in the sand today, and I'm going to start saying no to some things in my life that I know that hinder my walk with you.
Amen.
It's not necessarily that these things that we desire are wrong. The problem is we prove every day in our actions that we desire them more than we desire fellowship
right.
with Him.
You're right.
And that's what makes it wrong. When we love things more than we love Him. When we love worldly activities more than we love worldly, or more than we love time with God. That's what we're talking about. So He's called us out, and we've obtained mercy. It's time that Christians, and you know, when I say this, I say it as humbly as I know how, that this hits me. This is not, I'm not stowing this at you all. It's time that we that have obtained mercy live as though we've obtained it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And show forth the praises of Him that's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a biggie as well. I think that hinders a lot of Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's real plain, isn't it? That means don't yoke up together. And Brother Adam, I don't think that just applies in one area. I think we can apply that to marriages. We can apply it to our close friendships. We can apply it to our workplaces. We can apply it to the memberships that we have. We can apply it to who we golf with. We can apply it to who we hunt with. We can apply it to who we ride to work with. We can apply it to all those things and say, I don't need to unequally yoke up with unbelievers. Why is that? Well, it's a rarity that a single believer, outside of tremendous help of the Holy Ghost, brings a non-believer up in their self. What happens is the other way around. Usually that non-believer, Brother Matt, will start weighing in on the life of the believer. And when you used to live at this standard, what happens is you start lowering your standards. Because that measuring stick is no longer even a saint of God. You know, it's supposed to be the Lord Jesus. But a lot of times our measuring sticks each other, the saints of God. But when you start getting around a bunch of sinners, then where does your standard go? Then you start looking at them, and you think, well, as long as I'm doing a little better than them. That's what happens.
You're right.
That's why it's so dangerous. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He goes on and explains. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? That's basically saying Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So a believer with an unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? In other words, why would you bring an idol to worship into the temple of God? That makes no sense. That's why he's saying light and darkness, they don't mix. That's like oil and water. Guess what? They don't mix. It don't work. Light and darkness don't work. A believer and an unbeliever don't work. All of these things, they just don't work.
You're right.
It's real simple. Don't do it. I'm not saying you don't be friendly. We still love people. We love sinners. Christ Jesus loves sinners. He made it a point to go by the well to see a sinner. We still do those things. But we don't yoke up with them.
Hey.
We wait till they get born again, then we yoke up with them. Just love on them. That's what we do. We have no business yoking up with people that are not of like faith. Because what that does is hinders our walk with the Lord.
Right.
And so he goes on, he says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." So he says, don't you have an idol in my house either. "As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." He has called us out to live a life that's different from everybody else. You remember how our description of Christ was? He was holy and harmless and undefiled. And what was he? Separate from sinners. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Guess what we should be? Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We ought to look like him.
Yes.
We're going to be like him one day. But his desire is to get us there in this life as quickly as possible.
Right.
He's doing a work. And he's wanting us to work out what he's worked on the inside. The problem is, Dustin, we're a bunch of lazy people and that we don't like work. If you do like it, you only like the kind that you want to do. And you know what this takes? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes being serious. You have to purpose in your heart that I'm going to make a difference. The problem with that passage, well, it's not a problem, it's good. But how does it start? It says, you draw nigh to God. And then he says, and then he'd draw nigh to us. The problem is, most people don't want to take the first step toward him. But the thing is, over and over in Scripture, it proves that way. Because the Bible says that Cornelius was a devout man. He was seeking the Lord. You know what God did? He sent Peter down his way. Said, you go down there and help him. He's a devout man. He's desiring of me. Folks, God wants to do things for us. But we still believe that it requires you to want to do something for yourself. Now, I understand we don't do anything for salvation. But when it comes to for fellowship, we have to do something. It requires it. I mean, I could have married my wife and moved out and never spent any time with her and us still be married. How long would that have lasted real good? How would our fellowship have been? Dustin, it wouldn't be no good, would it? That's real simple, isn't it? But it's very true. You can't get born again and then have no fellowship with the Lord and expect that to be good. It won't be. It'll be awful and you'll be more miserable than a lost person. You take a saved person that is living out of fellowship with the Lord, as time goes on, they'll be the most miserable people that you can be around. Dustin, I'd rather be around them lost sinners over there in Africa that knew nothing than to be around a person that's saved and living a life out of fellowship with the Lord. And that's the truth, and you all know that's truth. But we need to come out, and we need to be different. And I know this is not popular in the days that we live in, because we live in a day when all the churches say, bring them all in. We want to yoke up with everybody. But I thank God, I'll say this, and you may wonder sometimes, you say, well, why doesn't Brother Kevin want to yoke up with a lot of these other churches? Why do you reckon that is? What fellowship hath light with darkness? A lot of these churches are not real churches, John. They don't believe the truth. And we're a lot safer around people that we know believe the right way than to join up with a bunch of people that believe every which way and they're leading people to hell.
Oh, yes.
And I don't want my name associated with people that's leading people off into hell. We want to teach people the truth. And I appreciate our pastor for wanting to do the same. He's for fellowship. He's proved it, hadn't he? But it needs to be in the right context with the right group of people. And you need to be careful who you join up with. Let that sink in a little bit. And be careful how you live your life every day. Understand that the Bible still does say that let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God wants us to be different. That old song said, I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise. I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. We don't want to be criticized much, do we? But we need to be willing to. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. We'll start back there next week. Well, no, not next week, but eventually, Lord willing.